Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. On behalf of everybody at Hot Grease and HeritageRadioNetwork.org, we'd like to wish you a happy 4th of July. On today's episode, we'll be mashing up some of our favorite summer moments from the show's history. Let's start with a segment on North Carolina barbecue, where Hot Grease host Nicole Taylor talks to restaurateur Curtis Brown.
We are talking North Carolina with actually North Carolina native Curtis Brown. So Curtis, we have to get into North Carolina, like the food icons of North Carolina. So I was doing my research and I'm like, oh damn, this thing is connected to North Carolina like Texas Pete.
Yes ma'am. Winston-Salem.
Get out.
That's it. It's been in my refrigerator since I was 2 years old, you know, so I still use it on everything.
So is the factory is in Winston-Salem or?
Yes ma'am.
So what's up? Do you know the origin of the name Texas Pete? Because I think most people probably think Texas.
I have no idea. I'll just be honest with you. I wish I did.
Is that your favorite hot sauce?
You know what? I think it is. Yeah, I think Texas Pete is my favorite hot sauce. I like Louisiana hot sauce too, but Texas Pete's great
Texas
with everything.
Texas Pete. So, what else I think? Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme donuts.
And is Krispy Kreme, did it start in Winston-Salem?
I don't know where they're from, but they're all over from the east all the way to... I grew up in Asheville in the west part of the state, but they're everywhere. When they got the hot donut sign on, you know, you got to pull over and get one.
Yeah, that's like my first... I've evolved now. I still will eat a Krispy Kreme donut, but I will have to say it's too damn sweet. But growing up... Didn't you just love to see the hot donut sign
hot
on?
Hot donuts, yeah.
And so you're from Asheville. So when I think North Carolina and I think Asheville, poo, people who are listening, what are they probably thinking?
Hippies?
No. The resort that's in Asheville.
Oh, Grove Park Inn?
Ding, 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 ding.
I don't think people think of that, do
you? You don't think so?
No, it's like for rich people. I don't think normal people think of that.
Well, so what do you think? What's the iconic food or thing, Asheville?
Well, Asheville, the whole thing was like meat and two vegetables. That's like when you went out to eat with your family or whatever. It was, you know, fried pork chops and two vegetables or fish and two vegetables and like a lunch counter kind of situation where, you know, you walk in and what do you got? And they got like four meats and a bunch of sides. And so that's what I think of when I think of eating when I was a kid.
So would you say Asheville is more like a working class town or?
Well, it certainly was when I was growing up. It's changed. A lot of people have moved there from the north and
from the north.
Yeah, so it's very, you know, it's lovely there, so they've got a lot of tourism. And
I feel like, what is it, Tupelo Honey Cafe is in Asheville?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of the upscale dining. What else is like new that
There's a place there. I haven't been there in a couple of years, but there's a place there called the Admiral that's mind-blowingly good. Fantastic. One of the best restaurants I've eaten out anywhere. And, you know, the local and farm-to-table stuff, and it's fantastic. Yeah.
So, North Carolina, without a doubt, hands down. I think people think about the barbecue.
Yes, ma'am.
The barbecue. So, what is distinctive North Carolina barbecue, Curtis? Let's break all the myths.
Well, even within North Carolina, we have like regional differences between Western North Carolina barbecue and Eastern Carolina barbecue. Eastern Carolina barbecue being very, very heavily vinegar. It's smoked the same as, you know, it's a pork butt smoked until it's 175, 180 degrees, same as any other barbecue. But then it's just covered in apple cider vinegar, brown sugar and red pepper flake. This is Eastern North Carolina.
Eastern.
And chopped.
So Eastern would be Asheville area.
That's Western.
Okay.
Eastern would be like Lexington and Greenville and like, you know, closer to the beach.
Gotcha.
And then in the West, where I grew up, when you go to a barbecue place, it's almost like going to a place in in Texas. You know, it's tomato-based barbecue sauce and ribs and brisket and pulled pork, you know.
So what are your go-to places in North Carolina when you're trying to get inspiration or you like, I want some North Carolina Q? Where do you go?
Well, there's a place in Asheville called 12 Bones. It's fantastic. It's hard to eat there, though, because they close whenever they run out. So sometimes they'll just be closed at like noon, you mm-hmm. know, because they ran out in an hour and a half or whatever. But I like to eat there. And Chapel Hill has a couple places. And Mama Dips does a barbecue it's not even smoked, but it's like a comfort food for me. You know, it's like a oven kind of barbecue, but it's fantastic. Yeah. But I mean, mostly, you know, as far as barbecue in the West goes, it's not a huge part of our food.
So what other foods actually, or edibles, would you consider iconic North Carolina things?
Creasy greens, something that grows in North Carolina.
What exactly is that?
It's they grow right now, like early spring, and they're a wild green, and you forage for them, and I guess...
Is that like poke salad?
It's a little more tender than poke.
Okay.
But poke is a great example.
Yeah, I grew up seeing people getting poke out of the yard, yeah, and fixing poke.
Yeah. Yeah, I love poke salad. But poke berries, delicious.
Yeah.
But creasy greens, poke salad, those are very North Carolina things. Pickled peaches is a big thing, you know, when you get a bushel of peaches and pickle off half of them, that's a big thing. Green beans cooked for a long time is a big thing that reminds me of home. Beans, any bean cooked for a long time until they're dead, you know. Cooked
so you're basically saying southern. I've never definitely heard of the creasy greens thing. That definitely must be a North Carolina thing.
Yeah, we got they're in the mountains, so they don't even have them in the East.
Cool.
Next up, Nicole's conversation with Pitmaster Rodney Scott at this year's Big Apple Barbecue.
So we're here at the 11th annual Big Apple Barbecue Block Party. And finally, I'm interviewing the famous pitmaster of them all, Mr. Rodney Scott. Welcome to High Grease.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So Rodney, I have to start this interview totally talking about Hemingway, South Carolina. I know people see so many stories about you, but do they really know Hemingway? How many people what's the population in Hemingway?
The last consensus that I heard of was in the neighborhood of 400 or 800 in that neighborhood. And it's a small town, not real big. And it's mostly farming area.
So what is the largest, what's the next big town near Hemingway?
Florence and Myrtle Beach are about equal distances apart, two different ways. So it would have to be the Florence or Myrtle Beach.
So for folks who've never actually heard of Rodney Scott's Barbecue, it's actually called Scott's Barbecue. Scott's Barbecue. Can you give us just a brief one-on-one about the history and the family business?
Well, Scott's Barbecue originally started as a little small general store with my mom and my dad. And we started with barbecue sandwiches on Thursdays, and we would do only one hog. And now we do an average of about 10, 12 hogs a week. And we do barbecue sandwiches, we do it by the pound, whole hogs, and everything was started in 72.
Oh, wow, 1972. So are your parents and other family members still involved in the business?
Yes, my mom and dad are still involved. I have a couple of aunts still involved and cousins.
So I'm a small town girl, born and raised in Athens, Georgia. What do your folks think when they know you're going up to New York for the weekend and all these other places? How do they feel knowing that you're just a rock star now?
They love it. I mean, they help me out. They support me still a lot because at this point you need a lot of support from home as well as when you're abroad. So, hey, it works.
Cool. Hemingway, a lot of people may not know that Miss Sylvia Woods, the late Miss Sylvia Woods, is from Hemingway, South Carolina. What's up with all the entrepreneurs coming from Hemingway?
You know, I just got to say from what I know about Miss Sylvia, she was a gorgeous lady. She great personality, great food. And, you know, with us in that area, we're pretty much southern with the hospitality. We like to share food. We like to make food taste good and share fellowship with people who enjoy eating as well as cooking. So I just have to say that we're just two of the people that they know about. But Hemingway is filled with people that do what me and my family and Miss Sylvia Woods do.
So, speaking of fellowship, what I found very interesting when I was prepping for this interview, I read that every year you guys do this big community day where it's, you know, food, music, fun. How did that come about?
Well, a lot of people donate wood to us, and they're clearing a lot, or either they are building a house and need to clear, you know, just move some trees out of the way, and they would call us for the hardwood. So the hardwood would support us throughout the week, which we would turn at Easter weekend, me and my mom's family, we would get together and do this picnic telling the community, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for being Scott's Barbecue customers. We do it free every year, regardless of the economy, regardless of the situation. We make sure and have our picnic every year.
So how many people typically turn out for the picnic?
The most, I think, is we passed out 1,500 plates last year, this past Easter, and we love it. It may have been more. We send plates out to people who are shut in and can't get out, like older folks and senior citizens that just don't travel much. We send plates to their homes that we know about, and the rest is right there across the street from our shop.
So the next generation of pit masters, are you training someone up down in Hemingway, South Carolina?
I have an 18-year-old son that pretty much knows what to do.
Is he interested?
He's interested whenever he's there. You know how that goes. He's a teenager. But he's pretty good at it. He knows what to do.
And do you think that there's a new generation of pit masters that are coming from the South that are, you know, 20 in their 20s? Have you seen them?
Haven't seen them, but I really hope they're there because we can use the help.
We totally could. So I want to ask you about the 4th of July. So many people I know that are into food, and particularly barbecue, two things that they hate doing. It's like, on the 4th of July, they're like, oh, I do not want any barbecue. What do you do on the 4th of July? What's your family traditions of 4th of July eating?
We cook barbecue. Every holiday for us is the perfect time to convene the area and the people visiting the area with barbecue.
So what do y'all have? I know you only do whole hogs. Do you do some other sides on 4th of July?
Well, on the regular now, we do whole hogs. We do chicken. On Saturdays, we do ribeye steak sandwiches or plates.
Oh, wow.
We have beans and slaw and sweet tea.
Okay.
So.
Is there ever an instance, Mr. Scott, where you're like, I do not want any barbecue? Let me back up. I know a few people from the South that come up to this event every year, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's great. They come, and then they're like, you know what? I want some New York food. I want some ethnic food. Have that same sentiment? You get tired of barbecue, be honest.
I've never been tired of barbecue, honestly.
You're tired of eating barbecue.
I've never been tired of eating barbecue, never been tired of dealing with barbecue at all. Never. And I love tasting other people's food, even other people's barbecue.
So when you travel throughout the United States, what are some of your favorite barbecue spots to check out?
Oh, man. Jim and Nick's.
Besides the Fat Back Collective.
Whoa. That's a good question, because most of the guys that I have visited already are in the Fatback Collective.
So tell folks what the Fatback Collective is.
Fatback Collective is a group of people, writers. We have chefs, pit masters, you know, just a whole bunch of people that collaborate on food. Donald Lang, Sean Brock, Nick Bahakis, Sam Jones, Ashley Christensen, Caleb Zegas. Oh, man, it's a whole bunch of us. Pat Martin, the list goes on and on. John T. Edge, Steven, I can't even say his last name.
Who love to get together, drink bourbon, and what?
Sure, you're right. You know us. You know us very well.
Of course I do. My last and final question to you, how do we get the Hemingway? If people are listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, I've seen the New York Times article, I've seen the SFA video on Rodney Scott, what's the easiest way to get the Hemingway? Do they fly into Myrtle Beach and then?
If you fly into Myrtle Beach, you would take Highway 501 to Highway 378 to Highway 41. And that will lead you in the Hemingway. And when you get to Hemingway, no matter which direction you're coming from, I'm at the second red light on Highway 261. Make that turn. I'm 2 miles out of town.
And what I love about you, you get social media. You're on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
At Rodney Scott BBQ.
There you have it. Thanks so much, Rodney Scott.
You're welcome.
If you don't eat meat, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy the grilling season just the same. Here's a segment from Nicole's conversation with John Schlimm, author of the book Grilling Vegan Style.
Today I have John, the author of
Hey
Grilling Vegan Style. John, welcome back to Hot Grease.
I am so excited to be back with you and your listeners. This is going to be fun.
I'm totally excited. You have a new book out, 125 Fired Up Recipes to Turn Every Bite into a Backyard Barbecue. Again, it has vegan on the title, but hey, folks, ignore that. This is, I love this. It's so simple and the best. I'm going to have to start first with, I love your primer in the well, I don't know if you want to call it primer or chapter two, where you talk about grilling tofu, or really just the ins and out of tofu and how to do it on the grill. I've never grilled tempeh or tofu. Give us the quick and dirty.
Well, you know, it was my goal with this cookbook to add sizzle to summer for everybody, no matter who you are, whether you're a lifelong vegan or one of my meat-eating friends here at home in my small little town. I want everybody to enjoy this book. And yeah, I mean, tofu is actually really great on the grill. You know, I actually know a lot of vegan and vegetarians who don't like tofu, and I think it's because they just don't know how to prepare it correctly. But you know what? You put it in a great marinade. I have a whole chapter full of marinades, and you toss it on the grill, and in about 8 to 10 minutes, you have an amazing entree, snack, whatever you want it to be.
And I don't know if you were listening earlier, but folks who were listening, I had someone from USDA on talking about New York State, what grows in New York State. But we spent the last few minutes talking about his grilling memories. And actually, in the very, very beginning of the book, you talk a lot about the basics for firing up. He mentioned he uses propane. But there's so many other things that folks can use if they want to grill, types of grills. What is a hybrid grill? I see that you mentioned that a little bit in the first part of the book.
Yeah, there is actually a hybrid grill that's out there right now. Unfortunately, at this point, they're really expensive. But I think in the coming years, you're going to see them become more inexpensive and accessible to the rest of us. But, you know, in the meantime, I think people need to pick the grill that's going to best fit their needs, because there is a grill out there for everyone. Whether you're cooking on the back patio, on the boat, there's even grills for boats. There's little portable grills that you can take with you. There's even a really fantastic thing called a grill pan for those who might live in tiny apartments without a balcony or porch that they can go out on. And this is just a little skillet that has the little ridges, and so you can really get that grilling effect anywhere, anytime. But I think people have to decide what's going to work best for them.
John, you know, I think people forget a lot of times that you can actually do desserts on the grill.
yes.
People totally. And then when you put like a pineapple or some other great peaches or something, folks are like, oh my gosh, this is so tasty. Folks really forget that grilling fruit is like the most amazing thing. You have a whole chapter dedicated to that.
That's right. And you know, one of the most popular recipes in the book that I keep hearing about from people on Twitter and Facebook is the tattooed watermelon. And I actually have it in a salad recipe, but that could easily be turned into a dessert recipe. People do not think to put watermelon on a grill. And boy, it just kicks the flavor of the watermelon, which is already great, up several more notches. But sure, you can put just about anything on the grill. Peaches and strawberries, coconut, cantaloupe, all those great things. Throw them on the grill. Maybe put a little olive oil on them first. Get those grill marks. You have to be careful with fruit, though, since it's a little more delicate. You need to watch it, but it's always a good rule of thumb to stick close to your grill. Grills can be very selfish. They want all of our attention. So, you know, don't plan on stepping away for too long. Stick close. But, yeah, you know, I'm all for trying everything on the grill when it comes to summer fun.
Well, let me ask you this. Should folks choose fruit that's, like, underripe, or is it okay to use something that's really juicy and ripe on the grill? What do you suggest?
You know, I think either would work, whatever you have access to. But if you're going to use the really ripe and juicy, you know, be careful, because that juice heats up very fast inside and might have a habit of spitting and spattering on you. And so we don't want anyone out there to get burned. So, again, just pay close attention. Watch it. You know, I'm an advocate of flipping your food frequently. Maybe I just get antsy. I don't know. You know, there's two rules of thumb. Some people only like to turn certain foods once or twice. I'm constantly flipping because I want that really even grill marks on both sides. But, yeah, try whatever you have. Experiment and have fun with it.
And last but not least, we need something to wash all this great barbecue grill stuff down. The cocktails. Boy, what's your favorite here? What do you hear people always like, oh my gosh, what is the recipe for that, John?
Well, you know what? I have to go back to watermelon again. There, I have a recipe called the watermelon bikini, which is really it's a great martini using watermelon juice, vodka, a little bit of cranberry juice, some pineapple juice, and of course you garnish it with some more watermelon. People are going crazy. Watermelon really is one of those official fruits of summer, so we best get as much use out of it while we have it.
And what's summer without ice cream? Nicole recounts her favorite ice cream memories.
First off, I have to say that my husband and some of my friends really, really pick at me a lot because I tend to spend a lot of money on ice cream. Not that I buy a lot of ice cream, but I think I've talked about this here before. If you are a loyal listener to Hot Grease, I buy the good stuff. So I spend about $10 for a little small pint of ice cream. But that is not my fondest memory because, you know, my folks in Athens probably would die if they heard that I'm spending $10 on ice cream. I will have to say that I know this is cheesy, but Dairy Queen, growing up after church on a Sunday, getting a peanut butter parfait from I think that's what it's called. It had peanuts, chocolate, and it was ice cream. And whipped cream from Dairy Queen. That is like the fondest ice cream memory that I have. So when I think about ice cream, that is the first thing that comes to mind. And I remember them being like really expensive to get a parfait. And I was a young kid, and most kids wanted just an ice cream cone like dipped in chocolate. But no, I wanted the parfait. So that is probably one of my earliest fondest memories. Some of the other things that I definitely remember is like the hand crank or whatever you want to call it, the hand ice cream maker. I remember seeing those, but I can't like remember any exact event or being at someone's house. But I remember the rock salt and people putting in there and making the ice cream like that. What are some of my other fondest ice cream memories? Definitely making the homemade Kool-Aid pops. Oh my gosh. You make some Kool-Aid, you put them in the molds, and then you just stick a little thing inside of it, and you have a popsicle. That was like the old school way of making pops. And now we have folks like Hip Pops and People Pops and La New Yorkina. But yeah, that was the first one. And lastly, ice cream socials. I totally remember in grade school, like being rewarded for, you know, perfect attendance or making a superior rating in band or some kind of competition. I remember the prize always being like a pizza party or ice cream party. I can barely remember the pizza parties, but my gosh, the ice cream parties was a big, big deal. And even my first job out of college, I worked for the American Cancer Society, and we used to have ice cream socials during the summer months for the employees to kind of kickback. So yeah, a good old-fashioned ice cream social is definitely always on the top of my mind. So yeah, guys, there it is, my fondest ice cream memories.
Happy 4th of July, everybody, and look out for new episodes of Hot Grease coming soon.